I'm Andrew Herbert. I'm the Managing Director of the Microsoft Research Lab here in Cambridge. My own research interests are in the area of operating systems, networking, and distributed computing, the world of .NET, if you like.
Okay, so why do we have a Microsoft Research Office here in Cambridge?
So about 8 years ago, the company recognized there was a talent pool of research in Europe that for some strange reason didn't want to live on the Pacific Northwest coast. And so the company wanted to have a lab in Europe to tap into that resource and also to give it a lab that could address some of the different issues that arise when you're thinking about computing from a European perspective. And to make a very long story short, very quickly Cambridge emerged as the venue to build that lab. There's a very strong academic computer science department here. They're in fact in the building next door to us. The university was very keen to have Microsoft come to its science campus and put us in this really nice building that we created together. And so all that came together. Indeed, the first managing director was a guy called Roger Needham, who had come from the university and joined Microsoft to create this laboratory.
So does that mean that there are still pretty close ties between Microsoft Research here in Cambridge and the university?
Yeah, and we position ourselves as the Microsoft lab in EMEA, Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And we work with universities across that region. But obviously, people next door are the easiest to talk to, and they're the people we meet for lunch and in the pub at the end of the day. So we have a very close relationship with them, but not to the exclusion of others.
So what sort of research goes on here?
So when the lab started, we had three areas, and we've just added a fourth this year. The original ones, programming languages and programming theory, built around a guy called Luca Cardelli, who's very well known in the world of object-oriented programming and the full models of doing that, and specification and verification. He has a very strong team now. They include people like Tony Hoare, Turing Prize winner, well known authority in that field. So, picking up the thread, one of the topics they're looking at the moment is web services security and how we can improve the amount of checking, make it easier for developers to express security policies across distributed applications and verify that their implementations actually match those policies. The second area is built around a guy called Chris Bishop. Their topic is machine learning and perception. They've mostly focused on things in the field of image processing. Digital image suite, the Microsoft digital photography editing package, has a number of tools that they provided that give you kind of single-click buttons that will remove things from images that you didn't want to be there, a number of release effects. Their most recent project is looking to see how they could put two webcams, by a computer and use that to compute a correct 3D image and then do a number of interesting effects to improve the quality of webcams, video conferencing and so forth. They're also active in information retrieval. They've made a number of contributions to the searching algorithms that SharePoint uses. And at the moment they have a big project running looking at how they can improve the kinds of AI that are used in Xbox games. So we have some researchers here who are doing research on Xboxes playing games all day. Can't get much better than that.
That doesn't sound like a bad job.
Pretty good. So one of the things you're going to ask me about in a while is technology transfer and product relationships. They're very important to us. Mitch, I hired when the opportunity arose to encourage him to stay in Cambridge. The group he was with here previously, a product group working with a local company. They moved to Redmond. Mitch likes it here. I think he's enjoying English pubs and living in English country houses.
So who wouldn't?
Absolutely. So we're talking about the groups. Then the third group is my group. So our interests are operating systems, networking, distributed computing. A lot going on. We've been doing a great deal in the operating system around virtualization. How can we run multiple legacy operating systems on the same box? How might we make the management of a large data center more automatic? How can we instrument applications, learn how they're behaving, and make them work better on different configurations? On the networking side, all of our work has been applying some of the same ideas to networking. How can we make networks more self-managing? Particularly as we're seeing more people deploy networks in kind of small home office scenarios where the person building the network probably isn't a networking guru, but they're working with wireless and wired networks all kind of mixed together. If something goes wrong, they need good diagnostic tools to help them.
Right.
And then in the supercomputing era, we've been looking a lot at peer-to-peer file sharing, which many people know about, so accessing music and so forth. We're looking at it as the infrastructure for collaborative applications, ways of distributing data around a data center, a lot of other ways of organizing, sharing data in a way that's scalable, self-organizing, much more automatic. It doesn't require sysadmins running around, joining file systems together, thinking about shares and so forth.
Okay.
So those are kind of three existing groups. The new group is one I'm really excited about. We've been hiring a batch of people with interest in things like applications, various aspects of human-computer interactions. We've just hired a woman called Abby Sellen, who joined us from HP. Her background is sociology. The guy who walked past a few minutes ago, Richard Harper, came to us from the University of Surrey. He's an ethnographer. He's been looking at why people use cell phones, particularly text messaging, that's really hot in Europe. Why is it hot? What's going on? As an ethnographer, he sees it as gift-giving. When teenagers send text messages to each other, they keep those messages because of their love tokens in a boyfriend and a girlfriend or whatever. When you understand what those messages mean to the people, it lets you think about how you might organize new services or add value to the devices. So Rich and Abby, the rest of the team, have a background in applications and system building, are looking at technology in consumer settings, in the home setting, what we're describing as situated technology, and seeing how people use it. And the aim is to kind of make the technology more invisible, so people just use it, see it supporting themselves in their work and their leisure. Imagine I like to use it as a car. Today we just get in the car, we turn the key and drive away. If you think back 30, 40 years ago, when I had my first car as a teenager, Saturday morning you kind of lifted the hood and replaced the vital fluids, you had to tinker with it. Well, that's kind of what the PC is like today. You really want to get the PC to be like the car. You just jump in and it does what it's supposed to do. You don't think about how it works to use it.
Oh, very good. So how much of the research that happens here gets fed back into products that are shipping out of Microsoft?
So quite a lot. Obviously, there's a kind of period between when the research is done and when the product groups are in their cycle and receptive to pick up new technology. But each of our groups has had a number of big wins. I told you about the image processing work that's in the Digital Studio product. Our programming team that work with Luca have taken a programming concept called generic functions. That's going to appear in the next version of Visual Studio, mm-hmm. and that's a mainstream programming idea. The research on that was done in the research community 10, 15 years ago. So in some sense, it's an old idea from a research point of view, but actually having it available in a production quality and development environment, that's pretty exciting. Java can't do that, for example.
Right.
And if I look here in my own area, some of the work we've been doing on instrumentation, measurements, and monitoring, and capacity planning for data centers, that was research that started in this lab. Two of the guys who did it have now gone across and joined the product group and turned themselves into a product team with that technology. So, you know, some things go across, yeah, they happen. Some things take 5 years, some things take 15 years. Mm-hmm. We're pretty pleased with the track record. We don't aim to have everything we do go straight away into a product. Our mission is to advance the state of the art in computer science. And as we do that research, we look for opportunities to use the results. So the research comes first.
Right.
And I think that's important, or we'll end up being a product group and then discover the feet of the existing ones.
So so how does somebody become a researcher at Microsoft?
So they send an application, and then we kind of look at their background. Obviously, most of the people who come to us have got a PhD. We take on fresh PhDs as postdocs, which is a kind of 2-year period with us to prove your research competence. A lot of people join us after 3, 4, 5, 10 years in university. And we look at the person's track record, what have they done. Obviously, publications are an important part of that, their reputation in the research community. The thing which distinguishes, I think, an industry researcher is they're not just motivated by the academic side. They actually want to see their research change the world. And coming to Microsoft is a great way to do that. If you have a good idea and the product groups resonate with it, that's millions of customers using your research. And that's a tremendous thing for a researcher to see that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so is there anything else you want to tell us about Microsoft Research here in Cambridge?
So, I guess things which are important about the lab are we are a key technology resource for Microsoft in Europe. An important thing in the European context is the governments of the various countries of Europe, the European Union, all look to have things happening in Europe globally. The European market for technology, European development, and so forth. We're an important part of Microsoft for that. So we work very closely with the EMEA headquarters operation in Paris. We work very closely with the various subsidiaries around the major European countries, helping them with some of their marketing, talking at the events they put on, showing their customers what the future is going to be. We have a sister organization in Germany called the European Microsoft Innovation Center. They work with Microsoft's European business partners on kind of advanced technology projects. And so we kind of work with them to make sure the advanced technology is pointing towards the research that we're doing.
Right.
And that's really a very important part of the European ecosystem for Microsoft. And it's something this lab is well placed to do. So that makes us different to Redmond, which is very focused on feeding the Redmond product machine.
Okay.